American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report, a daily broadcast dedicated to keeping you in touch with many of today's most important issues and examining how those issues directly affect our traditional values. And now, here is author and constitutional lawyer, Phyllis Schlafly.
The escalating price of going to college is a national scandal. The price of college has risen much more than inflation. Is college worth its cost? Economics professor Richard Vedder has just reported on a new study made by the Center for College Affordability and Productivity at the University of Texas in Austin. It concluded that the University of Texas could cut its tuition by as much as half, simply by asking the 80% of faculty with the lowest teaching loads to teach about half as much as the 20% of faculty with the highest teaching loads. This change would require most of the faculty to teach, on average, about 150 to 160 students a year. For example, a professor might teach one undergraduate survey class for 100 students, two classes for advanced undergraduate students or beginning graduate students with 20 to 25 students, and an advanced graduate seminar for 10 students. That would require the professor to be in the classroom for only 200 hours a year, and that's hardly a tough assignment. We can hear the yelping from the professors that this would interfere with their research mission. Now, first, nearly all the research is done by only 20% of the faculty. Second, how about asking professors to do the work week that other professionals do, 9 to 5 for 5 days a week for 48 weeks a year? And third, much research consists of obscure articles published in even more obscure journals on topics of trivial importance. If professors published fewer articles and did more teaching, we could make college more affordable. Most colleges are reluctant to spread information about themselves, their policies, their faculty, and their employees. It's time to change that. There's no better place to start than by examining the workload of those who receive most of the university's budget.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Double-digit unemployment has been blamed on the economy, outsourcing of jobs to foreign countries, illegal aliens taking U.S. jobs, illiteracy, free trade, and Washington's misguided stimulus bill. At eagleforum.org, we want to hear your opinion. Join the blog conversation with Phyllis Schlafly at eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees. Just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie. You know, Barack Obama wants to redistribute the wealth. Well, I disagree. I think you need to earn what you get in life. So join me, because I'm going to be redistributing the truth, one word at a time, here on The Unsolicited Opinion.
you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic. And we should stand up and say, we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
Right, now, item four, attainment of world supremacy within the next 5 years. Francis, you've been doing some work on this?
Yeah, thank you, Reg. We're quite frankly siblings. I think 5 years is optimistic, unless we go smash the Roman Empire within the next 12 months.
12 months, yeah?
12 months. And let's face it, as empires go, this is the big one. So we've got to get up off our asses and stop just talking about it.
Yeah.
I agree. Action that counts, not words, and we need action now.
Yeah. You're right. We could sit around here all day talking, passing resolutions, making clever speeches. It's not achieved one Roman soldier.
So let's just stop gabbing on about it. It's completely pointless, and it's getting us nowhere.
Right.
I agree. This is a complete waste of time.
They've arrested Brian.
What?
They've got him off. They're going to crucify him.
Right. This calls for immediate discussion.
What?
Immediate.
Right. New motion?
Completely new motion. That there be immediate action.
Once the vote has been taken.
Well, obviously, once the vote's been taken, you can't act on a resolution until you've voted.
Ben,
you
can't think that's wrong now, please.
Right, in the light of fresh information from Sib and Judith.
Oh, not so fast, Reg.
Ben, for God's sake. It's perfectly simple. All you've got to do is to go out of that door now and try to stop the Romans nailing him up. It's happening, Reg. Something's actually happening, Reg. Can't you understand?
Yeah. Hello.
Another little ego trip from the feminists.
What?
Oh, sorry, Loretta. Read that back, would you?
Hey, everybody. This is Maggie Rodden, and welcome to the Unsolicited Opinion Radio Show. And many of you will recognize that little clip that I had them play this morning. It is from The Life of Brian, one of Monty Python's humorous movies, and I thought it was kind of interesting because doesn't it so accurately portray how much inactivity and inaction there really is, that people like to just do a lot of talking but no acting, and no matter what's happening, they just keep talking. Let's have a meeting to have a meeting to have a meeting. You know what I mean? So I kind of thought, I love that clip. I think it's humorous. I think the movie was humorous. And what I'd like to do, the purpose of my show, of course, and the purpose of all of the shows here on Republic Broadcasting Network, is to get people into action, not just talk, but move, do something, take some kind of positive action to save yourself, to try to prevent what is heading like a freight train roaring in our direction, to prevent that from smashing right into us. So anyway, I do love that movie. It's a great movie, and it really does describe how most people just do nothing but talk. And I'd like to see that change. So perhaps I will be effective in making that happen. You just never know. Hope truly does spring eternal, doesn't it? Anyway, I have another great guest this morning that I am going to bring on in a minute. I just want to give you a little information so you can call into the show. The phone number is 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443 is the number. Listen, Republic Broadcasting is on Facebook, Republic Broadcasting Network. You can hear us all over. I want to say hello to everybody who's listening from all over, and especially our new station, KHFX, 1140 AM in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And listen, I say this all the time. I feel like I'm a broken record, but it is inevitable that I must say it. It's imperative that I say it. Listen, if you want to see the truth continue to be redistributed, then you need to help to make that happen. And the way that happens is if you help support this network. Advertise your business or service on this network. Buy some of the products that the network has on their website, republicbroadcasting.org, for sale. I suggest one of the Berkey water filters. And if you want to just send some information our way, send a donation to the network, you can always do that. And the address, for those of you who are into snail mail, is 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. So anyway, everybody, I want to bring on my guest this morning. My guest is Timothy Baldwin, and he has a website called Liberty Defense League, and that web address is libertydefenseleague.com. And I was reading some of his articles, and I thought I'd bring him on, and we could talk about him a little bit. So, hi, Timothy. How are you this morning? Thanks for joining me.
Hey, Maggie. It's good to be with you. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, you're welcome. So why did you decide to create this, as you call it, the Liberty Defense League?
Well, it's just it's one of these things that I was discussing with my dad a few years back, and at the time I was working on my first book, and I was trying to figure out, you know, a way to create a platform not only for me but potentially for a league of individuals and groups and that kind of thing. And so Liberty Defense League was the idea that I came up with, and it sort of has the potential of growing into various forms and various sort of platforms. And that's, that was the reason why I had originated the name that way. So it's a place that I use as a forum to discuss the issues of freedom and liberty.
Okay. So you're kind of in your infancy stages so far, I would say. Is that
correct? Well, it's been up since 2009, and I've sort of redirected the focus since then, so it's sort of in a reformation stage at this point.
Okay. Well, let's talk about a couple of the articles that you have up on there, if we could. Let's talk about your comparing the definitions of freedom. Let's talk about that article. I kind of found that rather interesting, talking about freedom in philosophy. So let's start with that one, if we could. How's that sound?
Yeah, sounds great.
So why do you say most people do not relate politics to philosophy, but that's what they should do if they're to understand it? So why don't you explain that a little bit? Where are you going with that thought process?
Well, just to kind of give your listeners here a background of my experience in this whole realm, a few years back, I was pretty frustrated with seeing the number, just like you started the show off with that clip, which was great, by the way, of people who, they talk about this stuff all the time, but you never see any positive results.
Exactly. Hang on, Timothy. That cue music is the cue. We're going to break. We'll be back in 2 minutes. So hold that thought, Timothy. We'll be right back, everybody. This is the Unsolicited Opinion. Don't go away.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Extend your life.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie Rodden, and you're listening to the Unsolicited Opinion Radio Show. The call-in number today, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. My guest this morning is Timothy Baldwin, and he has a website with a handful of articles up there. His website is entitled libertydefenseleague.com, and he's written an article entitled Comparing Definitions of Freedom, the Source of Our Dilemma. And so that's what he was just about to start to explain to us when we had to go to break. So, Timothy, if you'd like to begin again, I'd appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, a few years back, and this particular began for me when I got out of law school, and I began to really sort of engage my mind in the political front. And I was, I became frustrated, Maggie, quite honestly. I didn't see any changes. You know, you had all these groups, and at about that time, the Tea Party movement was, was heading, really spearheading their efforts and that sort of thing. But I wasn't really, I wasn't seeing it. I wasn't seeing that the masses or people around me were really getting what freedom is, what liberty is. And I really didn't have the knowledge to articulate exactly how to define these things. So I began to deeply study political philosophy. I went back into the period of our founders and began to study what they studied. And I began to realize that this whole political discussion that we engage in is a matter of political philosophy. And so I think for people to understand truly what terms and definitions and concepts we're using and what the politicians are trying to get us to believe or trying to articulate, it's all goes back to some sort of school of thought in philosophy. So I began to study that quite a bit. And throughout these past several years, it's really has become very clear to me the source of the problems we're facing is really couched in a revolution of philosophy which took place in the 1800s, which revolutionized our school of thought from what the founders believed to be true, and that is the Enlightenment philosophy of the 16th and 1700s, and it changed to a George Hegel Hegelian philosophy, which he wrote most of his works in the early 1800s, and they really began to take seed in the United States in the late 1800s. And so that's the purpose of the article series that I'm writing, which will be a several-part article series, and the second part came out today, by the way. So it's to help educate the mind as to these philosophical understandings.
Okay, okay. So I know in this article you reference John Locke, and you talk about the Declaration of Independence, and if I read it correctly, I believe you say that a lot of people claim that the Declaration of Independence was God-inspired, but you disagree with that. Is that correct?
Yeah, no, I don't believe it was God-inspired. It was a document which reflected Enlightenment philosophy, which was a period of about 150 years at that point. And if you look at John Locke's work in particular, you will see that Thomas Jefferson essentially mirrored almost verbatim the words that John Locke used in his essay on, essay concerning civil government.
Do you think that, because you think that it wasn't God-inspired, as we so often and frequently referred to with the Declaration of Independence and the Founding Fathers, were inspired by the biblical teachings, their Christian background, and that's what inspired them? And you don't think that even though Locke's philosophy would mirror, I would say, a Christian philosophy and the idea of freedom and liberty, you think that it came from Locke, that because Thomas Jefferson's writings so mirror some of the works of John Locke, that it is really Locke's thought process that Jefferson is writing about and not that God inspired Jefferson and others to write the Declaration of Independence?
No. Well, first of all, I mean, Thomas Jefferson never even really claimed to be a Christian to begin with. He was more of a deist, even though he did study the Bible, he did study scriptures. Certainly he was a moral person and believed in the Christian morality. He didn't claim to be a Christian, though. I think it's very clear that the Declaration of Independence is a historical document based on Enlightenment philosophy, and Enlightenment philosophy was certainly used scriptures. It certainly used a Christian ideology to form the premises for its conclusions. So if you want to use you know, an indirect inspiration, if you will. You can say that because the Bible was a source of the premises used, but it's not like God handed them the words to say, like many believe, you know, the Bible was directly inspired by God. That's not what the Declaration of Independence was. It was a historical and philosophical document based on 150 years plus of political philosophy.
All right. So essentially, then you don't think that God inspired these people who wrote the Declaration of Independence? It wasn't like you claimed the words of God. I have to disagree with you, because I think that these people were all driven by our experiences in life. And what our belief system is, I think, is evident in the words that we choose to use, whether we speak them or write them down on paper. I think our whole history and what it is we believe or don't believe influences everything we say or do, I think, anyway. So I don't know. Maybe it's just the whole God-inspired thing that people stumble upon. What do you think? Maybe people just trip over that and get lost in that.
Well, I mean, you know, if we're looking... If we think America was founded on some sort of emotional sporadic sort of idea that just came to them all of a sudden, that's not what happened at all. These men were educated men. They were very studied. A lot of them were attorneys who studied political philosophy, because, you know, lawyers at that time had to study this jurisprudence. Of natural law, and most of the jurisprudence of natural law came from Enlightenment philosophers such as John Locke, Samuel Pufendorf, George Hugo Grotius, and many, many others. And I've read every one of them. And when you read those volumes of works, you will see that these founding fathers, when they studied these works, it was almost second nature for them to think this way. This was a part of their everyday way of thinking.
Yeah, so what do you think inspired them? What inspired the philosophers? I mean, where did Locke come up with his philosophy? Something prompted him to come to these conclusions, right?
Oh, yeah, it was his study of scripture, study of natural law. It was his study of his experience, whatever that may have been. But it certainly led him to write these works, which were based in Christian ideology, Christian foundations. And it formed political thought. It formed political philosophy. If we're trying to parse the word inspired, I don't believe that God directly inspired these men to write the words they did, as if they were prophets of old. They weren't
Honestly, Timothy, I don't know if many people actually think that this is. I don't know if many people actually think the Declaration of Independence was God spoke to these people, you know, Moses, you know, whatever type of a thing, like he's standing on the mount or something like that. I could be wrong. I don't think a lot of people necessarily think that's the case.
Yeah,
I think that
their thought process was inspired by
Christian teachings, whether they claim to be Christian or not.
Well, there are people who, on the other side of the spectrum, people who don't believe God has anything to do with this, who look at the side that we're discussing and say, well, and they've come to me, they've approached me, and they say, well, your side of the spectrum say that God, you know, inspired this. God directly told these people what to say. So whether or not, you know, people on what we would call the conservative or the traditional American side, however you want to describe this.
Okay.
Believe that or not, the impression that the other side has is that people like us are claiming that God directly inspired the words of this, let's say the Declaration of Independence, you know, and that's the impression they're getting, and that's what actually some people have told me before. So I don't know what your personal experience is on that, but mine is that some people actually do believe that it was directly God inspired.
Well, I'm sure that that's the case, but I guess maybe we are parsing words here, because does it really matter whether people believe that, whether they think it's like the Bible that God spoke to these men and then they had these words come to mind, or this whole thought process, this philosophy come to mind, or whether he didn't. I don't know if that's as relevant as the fact that What they did write and what it means, what they wrote, is more relevant. Individual freedom and liberty, I think, is what the outcome is more relevant than maybe the inspiration for it. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, as I've been studying, and I've gone all the way back to, you know, even before Plato and Aristotle, if you look at the sources of these thoughts, goes back thousands of years, and of course it also clearly goes back to scriptures. And I think one of the problems we're facing today is that many people don't find it necessary to study the sources. They think that, you know, oh, they're a Christian, God will speak to them, God will tell them what's right and what's wrong. No, that's not true. God expects us to use our brain. He expects us to use our reasoning to come up with sound conclusions as to what is true and not true. And so these men who wrote these works, such as John Locke and many, many others, were men who were very, very studious. They were men who read constantly, who wrote constantly, who observed natural law as a regular part of their life. That's what we should be doing, and that's the point of these articles, is to show the sources of our thought is founded in a philosophy. And we can go back in history and identify certain philosophies which created a political school of thought. And so clearly the United States was formed on an Enlightenment philosophy, which, as I showed in the article, was about 150, 160, 70-year period, as opposed to a new philosophy which revolutionized the United States, and that is a George Hegel philosophy, which I show in the article and in the following articles, following the introduction article.
Well, I have to say, Timothy, I think that people, if you're a leftist, you're going to go for the whole Hegel's dialectic and Hegel's theory of freedom and objective freedom. And if you're not, you're going to, if you're not a leftist, if you don't think the state rules everything, then you're going to be a freedom and liberty loving individual and believe that your rights are unalienable and that you were born with them and they don't come from some man or government, that they are inherent in man. So you got two exactly polar opposites there competing with one another. Who do you think's winning?
The one that's been winning for the past 100 years plus is George Hegel's philosophy. Whether people you know, think they believe a certain thing or not really doesn't have a lot to do with the direction of the country. There's many people who say they believe in God, they believe he's the creator of right, et cetera, et cetera. But where's the direction of our country going? It's going into a Hegelian sort of a state that Hegel envisioned. So, you know, in my opinion, Hegel is the triumphant philosophy of the 19th and 20th century.
Well, I think because that's the philosophy of the hand of people, the small group of people who really are in control in terms of manipulating outcomes. So I would agree with you there. I don't think that's the philosophy of most of the people. I think most of the people are just sheep going along because they are unwise to anything else. But I think the handful of people who, the globalists who are in control of the outcome here, are the ones who are the followers of Hegel and his philosophy.
Yeah. Well, and again, I ask the question, so what difference does it make? I mean, if the people we're electing into office and the people who are controlling politics are Hegelian, and we say we're a bunch of enlightenment believers, if you will, then, you know, our philosophy without works is simply dead, as the Bible says. Our faith without works is dead. So we need to reinvigorate our mind and our understanding as to how this philosophy actually translates into political action.
Well, people are manipulated. I mean, very easily manipulated. Most people aren't leaders. Most people are followers. And whoever's got the best rhetoric is who they follow, because they're so easily led astray. Hang on, Timothy. We've got to go to break. Listen, everybody, this is The Unsolicited Opinion. My name is Maggie Rodden. We will be back in 3 minutes, so don't go away. Don't change that dial.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey everybody, this is Maggie Rodden, and you're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion, and I'm talking this morning with Timothy Baldwin. And he wrote an article entitled Comparing Definitions of Freedom, the Source of Our Dilemma. And his website is called LibertyDefenseLeague.com. You can go there and read the articles for yourself. And let's talk about some of the reasons. I believe we're comparing Hegel's dialectic and where we're at today and the ideas of John Locke, the philosopher John Locke, of freedom and liberty and the inherent unalienable rights of man, and Hegel's dialectic that claims that, or Hegel's philosophy that claims that everything is inherent in the state, and the state should rule over the individual. There should be no individual. I had a gentleman on my show last week, Timothy. You may have, this is terrible. I'm bringing him up and I can't think of his name. You may have heard of him. I'm trying to, I can't think of his name. Let me look who I had last week. Dean Gotcher. Are you familiar with him?
Yeah, I believe I am.
Okay, because he's spent years and years and years talking about Hegelian dialectic, and he actually takes it right back to the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And
I've actually heard him speak here in Montana where I live.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. So he kind of references that as the first sign of the dialectic that Hegel made so well known for many people. So, what do you think? You're defining this as comparing definitions of freedom. So we're comparing them. What would you say is our answer to that? Would you say it's like I brought out the clip in the beginning, people just have meetings, 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 and more meetings and never do anything? What do they do?
I think this is a matter of individual responsibility. I personally believe that we can have all the meetings and all the action committees and all the political lobbying we want, but if individuals don't educate themselves in these terms, in these terminologies, and in these schools of thought and how they apply to contemporary situations, I believe we're not going to be able to use sound logic and reasoning and understanding to work our way through a lot of these problems we're facing. So I think this is a matter of individual responsibility. You know, if you look at the founding era, why was it that we had so many people that were able to come together, formulate these plans of action, and break free from the most powerful nation in the world at the time? It was because we had people who were educated in these things that I'm trying to discuss in these articles. And if we do that, we will have a foundation to be able to launch a lot of these plans that people are trying to affect, but they become futile. I think the reason they become futile is because the definitions aren't even clear. People don't even have the same reference, the same, they're not on the same page. And so we have to have a sort of common understanding as to what is freedom, what is liberty, what are the principles, where do they come from, where can we study them, that sort of thing. If we can do that and we can get a large number of people to become interested in this once again, as our founding generation was, I think we'll have a good chance of restoring much of the freedom we've lost over the past 150 years.
Well, you know, if you look at the American Revolution, what was it, about 3% of the people actually did anything? The rest just did, some people did nothing, a handful of people did a little bit, but most of the people did nothing. So it's very difficult, I think anyway, to inspire people to get up off their duff and do something beyond just having a meeting about the meeting about the meeting. You know
what I mean? Well, you know, as to the numbers, I mean, I'm not sure where the 3% has come from, but I tell you, I've read some history books that were written just after the revolutionary period, and the numbers that I've seen of people who were involved in support of the revolution were actually much higher than 3%. It was more along the lines of at least a third of the population was actively involved. So, you know, where the numbers are coming from, I don't know who's more accurate or not. But
I don't know, because I've always heard around 3%, so I don't know.
Yeah. I've heard that my whole life as well. So whenever I started studying the number or studying history myself, and I began to see that, especially when you read history books that were written in time, contemporary with the event, I think the numbers may be much higher than that.
Well, you know, if we extrapolate that out a little bit and look at the people who are active and trying to do something today, I'm sure you know from yourself, Timothy, anything you may have been involved with, you know, groups that I've belonged to, there's only a handful of people who actually physically do anything. Most of the people just show up.
Yeah, well, and that's true. You said it earlier. I mean, there's only a few, you know, percentages are much favor fellowship and not leadership. And so, and that's just, I don't know, I mean, that's just human nature. We're expecting someone else to lead us. So the ones who actually do take charge, you're right, there's probably only a few people who do that. But still, you know, and that may be okay as long as we have support, as long as the leaders have people behind them, giving them the resources they need to accomplish the goals of the group. So, but again, we go back to this idea. I mean, I talk to so many different people about these issues, and just my experience tells me that, I'll just give an example. I had a meeting last year with a group, and it was sort of a leadership group. Most of the people there were the ones who were actively involved in that sort of thing.
Okay.
They were discussing the, you know, the problems and what can we do, et cetera, et cetera. Well, it was my turn to speak, and I got there, and I was anticipating addressing the very subject that we're talking about, and that is political philosophy. And I brought some books with me. I brought, you know, John Locke, Samuel Pufendorf, and a few others, and I just brought them with me. And the first question I asked, I said, "How many of you have read this book, and then this book, and then this book?" And there was not one person that had read them. And I said, "How in the world can we talk about the founding fathers and the founding generation and the freedom that they were able to secure for their generation, when we haven't even studied the same works of political understanding that they studied to be able to get to that point in their lives. And the conclusion I made was, if we don't get back to this kind of ardent, deep study of these subjects, we're going to be very hard-pressed to be able to create something that we claim is worthy of restoration.
Well, you know, I have a friend who works at a university, and once a month this university has a meeting for all of the teachers. And, of course, they serve really good food there. You know, they serve steaks and you know, it's very expensive food and all kinds of hors d'oeuvres and cocktails and that stuff. And, of course, the meeting is, they call it the Oasis meeting. Now, if you think about what an oasis is, it's an imaginary thing. It doesn't really exist. An oasis in the desert, what is it? It's a mirage. And I was thinking about that as you were speaking, because we have people having these meetings thinking that, okay, well, they're going to come up with this all enlightened thinking, and it's a mirage.
Yeah.
Because we don't have a basis for what it is we're claiming. We don't have an understanding. We're spouting words. And we don't know where those words come from. We don't. If you don't have a firm foundation on this, you can't win the battle. Listen, Timothy, that's the cue music. We got to go to break. We'll be right back, everybody. This is the Unsolicited Opinion. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Don't go away.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Berkey Purification Systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
Buddy, this is Maggie Rodden, and you're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. Call a number today, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. My guest this morning is Timothy Baldwin, and he has a website, Liberty Defense League. Got a handful of articles up there. Let's, if you want to comment on what I was saying before we went to break, Timothy, please do so, and then I'd kind of like to get into another one of your articles.
So, no, go ahead. Let's go ahead and move on.
Okay. Let's talk about the book that I see that you've written up here, The True Meaning of Submission. Romans 13, I guess, is that the title? The True Meaning of Submission. Let's talk about that book a little bit, if you could, please. What's your book about?
Well,
what do you mean by
on the topic of Romans chapter 13, which is, of course, in the New Testament of the Bible, and it's the verse or the chapter that we see being used by many people and many Christians to argue that we as citizens have a duty, a God-imposed duty, to submit to government essentially no matter what, whether
render
we like it or whether
Caesar,
we don't, whether it violates
Caesar's?
Our rights or whether it doesn't. We are to just passively allow them to rule over us. And so I wrote a book countering that opinion, countering that view, and I believed it to be a necessary book because of the direction we've been heading in this country, the position that many of these people are advocating, I believe to be completely incorrect. And so I wrote the book, and it's got hundreds of scripture references, along with theological and religious dissertations of people who have studied this before. And I put it in a concise, not too long book. It's only 100 pages. And it's really a one that I've never seen before, quite honestly, Maggie, because I've been looking for books such as that, and I never found one that had the kind of research and the kind of references that I made this book to be. And so I wrote it to be a study guide for those who really want to see the truth about submission according to Romans chapter 13.
Okay. So this falls in line with then render under Caesar, unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God which is God's. So that's kind of the debate in this book.
Right.
Really, what is are we supposed to do for our government or give to our government, and how much are they supposed to leave us alone? I vote for leaving us alone, quite frankly.
Well, yeah, and of course, a lot of these people who would say we're to submit to government no matter what, they would still say, well, yeah, I would like to have freedom, but, you know, if God wants me to be a slave, I guess I'll just have to be a slave. If
that
God
makes...
wants government to kill my family and rape my wife and children, I guess that's God's will.
Yes, and, that doesn't make sense to me.
No, it, well,
just
it doesn't
not, it
make
just flies
it's a,
in
it's
the
a
face
doctrine
of common
that's
sense.
Not really based in Scripture at all. They'll use a verse here and there to try to justify their position, but they've really, what they've done is they've distorted the creation of God. They've distorted the fundamental or foundational concepts of who God is and what his creation is, and we as people, as human beings, are his premier creation. And he did not create us to be slaves. He did not create us to be trodden under the foot of men, as the New Testament says. So that's what the book's about.
You know, it's interesting, Timothy, because I find, there are so many different articles or arguments out there. People parse words. They break them down by syllables. And this syllable of this word means this, so that, therefore, this is what it really means and not what you think it means. And I think what happens, and I believe what happens, I don't think I believe what's happening, is people get so involved in the minutiae of things, they don't really have any, they don't have enough of an understanding. They haven't studied things enough to have a firm position. Because they haven't, they just haven't studied them. They take things out of context. They read into things what really isn't there. They want things to be other than they are.
Yeah. Well, and the thing about the book that I wrote is that it has both the elements of minutia, or breaking down the details, as well as looking at the overall and the general view of who God is, who we are, etc. And they exist together as a unit. I mean, that you can't separate, you can't sacrifice the general for the specific. You can't really sacrifice the specific for the general. They have to make sense together. And so both of those are addressed in the book.
Well, you know, when you think about Hegel's philosophy and the government is all powerful and omniscient and omnipotent, is essentially, slavery isn't benevolence. And so for people to think that, like you're saying in your book, Romans 13, that people think that they will have to do whatever the government tells them to do, it just... What the government is going to tell you to do is live or die. They're going to tell you every single thing you're going to do from the moment you're born, if you're allowed to be born, until the day that you die. And I don't think that, it just doesn't make sense. Why would you think that that would be an acceptable way to live, and that government is going to be this wonderful, benevolent institution only looking out for your best interests. It flies in the face of history. It never works out that way.
Well, no, and the thing about it is, a lot of these people who are arguing the point that we are to submit no matter what, they only do that because we have relative peace in the United States. They, you know, they're not thinking about the fact that government could come into their house and do these horrible things because they've never been put in that position, nor has their friends or their family ever been put in that position. And so they, you know, they conjecture what they think they would do because they think God would have us just to submit no matter what. But I guarantee if it comes to the point where the possibility becomes reality, I think their experience would probably shape their perspective to a different degree. And the thing about it is, too, I think, is that a lot of these people that I've talked with and I've heard, they have such a shallow approach to scriptures and to God Himself. It really creates a disincentive to study and to really delve into the matters at their core. And it's an easy way to just think they're doing the right thing and they think they're spiritual or whatever the case may be. And it's a fallacious doctrine.
Yeah, it really is. Someone just emailed me while we were... Hey, hang on, Timothy, because that cue music is we have to go to break. We'll be right back in 2 minutes, everybody. Don't go away.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices. This is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit terravim.com.
Did you know that the water you're drinking may contain over 2,000 different contaminants? From hormone-disrupting and mind-altering chemicals like fluoride in pharmaceuticals to newly emerging contaminants like radiation and other hybrid chemicals that water treatment plants don't screen out of our drinking water. PureEffectFilters.com has a breakthrough filter solution to effectively reduce the widest range of such contaminants, including the radiation coming from the Fukushima disaster. In addition, the filters will also revitalize your water by releasing natural minerals and electrolytes while increasing pH and antioxidant levels. Safeguard and revitalize your drinking water today with a breakthrough Pure Effect water filter system. Visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more or contact us today at 1-888-891-4821. That's 1-888-891-4821. Call now and take one of the most important steps you'll take to a healthier future.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie Rodden, and you're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. And the call-in number this morning, 800-313-9443. Timothy, I know you told me that you were only able to stay on the first hour, so would you like to give me a final thought or two before we say goodbye here today?
Well, you know, Maggie, first of all, thank you, Maggie, for having me on your show again. I do appreciate the opportunity. You know, these are things that, you know, we need to be discussing on a regular basis. We need to be discussing issues of liberty, freedom. You know, people who wrote in the past, our forefathers who discussed these things, our Enlightenment philosophers who delved into the details of what liberty is. Read George Hale. See what he says about what freedom is, and you'll be able to then identify many times these politicians who speak in words of freedom, but in essence what they're meaning is a George Hegel kind of freedom. And so we need to be able to identify these things so we can make wise decisions about our country and our state and our elections and so many different tangibles that we that affect our daily lives. And, of course, Maggie, I'd like to just encourage your listeners to go to my website, which is libertydefenseleague.com, and order my latest book, Romans 13, The True Meaning of Submission. I think it's going to help a lot of people understand this issue a lot better, and they're going to be able to talk to their pastors and church members and that kind of thing in a more intellectual, understanding manner.
Well, maybe they could teach some of their pastors a thing or two if they do read this. What do you think?
Because I'm sure they can.
Yeah, there's a lot of preachers who are unfortunately misleading their flock out there because they have been truly, I'm going to use the term, taken over by the globalists who are pushing this one world agenda. But I know you can't stay on with me, Timothy, but you're welcome to come back on anytime you'd like. Thanks so much for joining me this morning, Timothy. I appreciate it.
Thank you, my guest,
everybody, you're welcome. My guest has been Timothy Baldwin. His website is libertydefenseleague.com, and go there and take a look. He's got a handful of articles up there, and I think you might like reading them. Anyway, the call-in number, I don't have a second guest lined up, everybody, so it's just me and you. We'll be in our little private club here today. The number 800-313-9443 is the number. Why don't you call in and give me your solicited or unsolicited opinion? Either way, I guess you could look at it. 800-313-9443 is the number. My website is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. I'm going to link to Timothy Baldwin's website up on mine under the tab entitled Podcast, as I always do, sooner or later, sometimes later, more later than sooner. However, it does end up there, and it will end up there. So please go there, check it out. Now listen, you know, I was thinking about a couple of the things that I wanted to talk about for the second hour today, and one thing I wanted to do is go through what I actually have on my website so people have an idea of the things that I'm referring to and where to find some information. If you go on my website on the recommended tab that's right on the main page, I'll tell you who these different people are that I've linked to and why I think it's important you take a look. The first one, the ACL, the Anti-Communitarian League, we are all going to fall under what's called communitarian law. And that really is a structure that they're building. And I am no expert on it to be able to explain it to you in a way that is understandable, so I don't bother. And if I could get the lady who has been studying communitarian law, Nikki Rapana, to come out of her Gertie tent in Alaska that she lives in and come on the show again, she'd be able to explain it to you much, much better than I can. So I'm not even going to try. So you can go to her website and read what communitarian law really is, and it's nothing good, let me tell you that much. The second one is American Deception. Now, that website is actually a collection of all kinds of documents, government documents. Hang on, everybody, before the break. This is a 60-second break. I'll be right back. Don't change the dial. You'll be sorry you did. I'm telling you.